The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahalei Sukho. At the very end of the Parsha, it states, "Vatisoger Miriam michutz lemachaneh shiva shomim." Miriam and Aaron had spoken Loshon Hora against Moshe. They slandered him. And Miriam was punished. She was punished with a tzaras, with a leprosy. And the law, aloha, the law is that when someone has leprosy, they are sent chutz lemachaneh, totally outside of all of the camps. And it states, "Vatisoger Miriam michutz lemachaneh shiva shomim." And therefore, she was sent out for 7 days. Va'om le'nosa ad he'osef Miriam. And the nation did not carry on with their travels until Miriam was allowed back into the camp. They didn't want her to travel alone outside of the camp. And then, only afterwards, did the nation carry on their travels from Chatzeres, and they camped in the desert of Poron. This was a great honor to Miriam, that a camp of 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, besides women, besides children, besides older people, should all wait for Miriam for 7 days until she's able to travel with them, come back into the camp. In the Gemara, the Mishnah, in the first parak in Masechet Seita, the Daftes Amud Beis, speaks about this. The Mishnah states, "V'chein linyan atova," and so is it in regards to reward. The Mishnah, at this point and before, is saying that the way the mido she'odem meided bo meididin le, that in accordance to the way the person acts, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to him. In accordance to his deed, it's exactly in this way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to him. And the first part of the Mishnah, which actually starts on the Ches Omid Beis, is referring to when a person does an Avera, he does a transaction, a transgression, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's retribution, his punishment, is in exactness according to what the person did. And now the Mishnah states, "V'chein," and so is it, "le'inyan hatova." When a person does something good, also his reward is with an exactness in accordance to what he did. And it brings this case of Miriam. Miriam himtina lemoshe sho'achas. Miriam went and she waited for Moshe for a sho'achas. A sho'achas, a sho' can mean an hour, or it means a small amount of time. Shenema v'teisatzav achesim erochek. That when Moshe was 3 months old and they had to abandon him in the Nile River because the Egyptian soldiers were looking for babies and they were going to kill him, Miriam went and she watched over Moshe by the river, and she stayed there until the daughter of Pharaoh came and took him out of the river. Lefichach nis'akfu lo Yisrael zayin yomi bamidbor. Because of that, the entire nation of Israel waited for her for 7 days in the desert, as it states, "V'om le'nosa ad he'osef Miriam," that the nation did not carry on with their travels until Miriam was able to return to the camp. The Gemara, actually, on last week, which was Isru Chag of Shavuos, the day after Shavuos, we gave a shiur on the exactness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supervision and his retributions and his reward to the deeds of people that we could see from the Megillas Rush, from the Book of Ruth. This week, again we have this in our own parsha, and the Mishnah, the Gemara here in Masechta Seita, elaborates on it, which I would like to spend this evening with. Now the Gemara says, and Daf Yud Aleph, what does it mean, v'chein le'inyan hatova? And so is it with good deeds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays with exactness. It's not exactness. She waited only 1 hour or one bit of time, and the nation waited 7 days for her. So what does it mean? And so is it when a person does a good deed, when a person does a bad deed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him accordingly. He doesn't give him more punishment than he deserves. So the same thing we should say when a person does a mitzvah, he does something good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reward him accordingly, but not better. She waited so achas, and here the nation waited for her 7 days. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav HaHochiktoni, V'chein linyan HaTova, D'ba'es HaMido, the V'chein linyan HaTova, and so is it, when a person does a mitzvah, that means in the type of reward. The reward will be exactly appropriate and in accordance to the act that was done. But ula'ela midatova meruba memidis peronias. But a person will get far more than he deserves in quantity. Because we have a principle, midatova meruba memidis peronias. The punishment or retribution that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to a person for an act is far less than the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person for a good act. And therefore, even though she waited only shoachas, one small amount of time, she was rewarded by the nation waiting for her for 7 days. Tesfus brings from the Tesefta, Mida tova maruba me al midas pronias al achas chomesh meis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays a person for a mitzvah, and we say that he repays him more than what he has done, how much more? That the Tesefta says 1 in 500 times, 500 times the amount. So Tesfus says, therefore we must say that she didn't wait 1 hour. Because if she waited a full hour for Mesha, 7 days would not be 500 times the amount. Because there's 24 hours in a day, and 7 times 24 would be 100, 150, 160, but it's not 500 the amount. So he says, therefore, Sho'achas, the amount she waited, must have been somewhere between a third and a quarter of an hour. And she received 7 days in return, which works out to 500 times that amount. We can ask another question. Miriam waited for Moshe. So she waited for one person. So her reward should have been that one person should have waited for her. Or at best, 500 people should have waited for her. Meanwhile, we see here 600,000 waited for her, and that was 600,000 men, that's besides all of the others, so there were many millions that waited for her. So it's not in proper proportion. The answer we can give to that is the Torah tells us in many places, it states Moshe v'Yisrael, mentions Moshe and Israel. Why Moshe v'Yisrael? Should say Israel. Moshe was part of Israel. Moshe hayashokol keneged kulam. Moshe was so great that he encompassed all of Israel. He was equal to all of Israel. And therefore, when she waited for Moshe, in order to repay her for that, we had to find someone equivalent of Moshe to wait for her. And that would be all of Israel. Therefore, the entire nation waited for her. Actually, a little explanation into why was Moshe equal to all of Israel. Not only in deeds, but this was the individual that he was. Because it states that every person of Israel has a certain portion in Torah. This means that if you put all of Israel together, they can encompass everything in Torah. But every individual, he has just an individual perspective. States all of the souls of Israel are proportionate to all the letters that are in the Sefer Torah. But that's all of Israel together. If that would be the case, so if any individual would receive the Torah and bring it down into the world, and this he had to do this by comprehending the entire Torah, because he turned around to teach the whole Torah. How is it possible that he can comprehend the entire Torah? Every individual only has a keach, a power to comprehend Torah through his own personal perspective, which is just one minute area. So this is what Moshe was. Moshe was able to comprehend the entire Torah. He encompassed everything. And he encompassed everything. His soul was able to encompass everything that all of Israel together were able to encompass. So therefore, when Miriam waited for Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to pay her back, it wouldn't have been right if he had one or two or even 500 individuals wait for her. So he had to have the entire nation. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning, it starts with an Aveira. B'midah she'odem modeid bo medid in lei, in accordance to what the person does. This is exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to him and repays him. And this Mishnah is speaking about the Soter. The Soter is an adulteress. Actually was brought in last week's parsha. The adulteress and adulterer, these are those people, the unfaithful wife who commits adultery with another man. And the Torah explicitly tells us what has to be done to them and what is their punishment. And when it speaks of her punishment, she is publicly disgraced. Now, the Mishnah says, he koshto es atzma la'aveiro. Why is she publicly disgraced? Because she adorned herself to do an aveiro, to do an act, which is a great transgression. The Gemara tells us it's a transgression. Torah tells us it's a transgression, both to betrayal to her husband and also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, since she adorned herself to do an aveira, amokom navlo hi, amokom navlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that adornment and takes it away from her to the point where she is disgraced. And this is the midah she'odem medid bo medid in law. Exactly in accordance to what the person wants to do, whether it's for bad or for good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts accordingly. And the Mishnah goes through many, in this case itself, by Sota, in many examples. This is the klal, the principle, which is referred to as Mido Keneged Mido. The simple reason is because then the person knows what he's doing. And he can improve himself if he receives punishments, heaven forbid. He can know what they're coming for, because what he is receiving must be very similar and appropriate to what he's doing. So he knows how to improve himself. And The same applies if he receives reward. See, a person must not only look at his difficulties and his punishments, but he must also look at his rewards, that the brachas and benefits he receives, why is he receiving it? And if he studies it, and since it must also be appropriate to what he did, he can find out what he's doing good and know, and from this he will know to carry on what he's doing, or even to do more. This is the simple reason. But the Maral in the Chidushi HaGodesh says there's a deeper reason. And that is because Kol HaNogosev Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu BeYeseh or BeMishpat, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acts are with an uprightness and are proper, and with a Mishpat, with justice. And justice we cannot get away from. In the modern world that we live in today, the so-called modern world, wants to get away from justice. They want where they've done away with the work ethic. They want that everybody should receive reward. Why should only the one who works receive reward? Let the one who loafs also receive reward. Here a man works very, very hard, and you promote him, and you give him a good wage. The other one comes with a complaint. Why not me also? And from that, we have all types of systems in the world which are known as public benefits and public welfares and so forth and so on. And they've helped to bankrupt the Western society. In addition to that, this is the underlying cause that economists have underpinned why America, that was the industrial giant, is no longer the industrial leader of the world, but was lost to the Far East, because in the Far East they still have the work ethic, while in the West, the American and European countries, you had your labor parties and your unions became very strong, and they wanted reward regardless of their efforts. See, the world wants to destroy justice. Where's justice? Justice is Azori Bedima Berina Yiktsor. He who sows with great efforts, he will reap the reward, not someone else. It says Shemer Teino Yechal Pirya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, why should Yeshua become the king? Others say, I also want to be the king, I also want to be the president, I also want to be the leader. He told them very simple. The one who guards the tree and who plants the tree and who tills the tree, the fruits belong to him and not to someone else. It is not right that someone else that didn't do the work should come and eat the fruits. Now what does it mean it's not right? It's not just. This is not B'mishpot. This is not Yosha. That's from aspects of benefits, of reward. The same thing, aspects of penalties and punishments. We're living in a strange world. Man can go and he can commit every crime under the world. He can steal. And you say, have compassion on him. He can rape. And you say, have compassion on him. He can murder. And you say, amnesty, have compassion on him. We have Amnesty International that says it's not right. What do you mean it's not right? It's not right if he does not receive. Is that justice? Today the world wants, they once asked, what was his name? This very famous Nazi hunter. Now the Nazi hunter. Yeah, Simon Wiesenthal, they asked him once. They said, why are you so obsessed with revenge? He says, your whole life is a life of revenge. Because all you want is to take revenge. He said, revenge? I'm not looking for revenge. I'm looking for justice. This is what I'm looking for. He says, revenge I'm looking for. How many Nazis, after committing these atrocities, forget about wars, that we won't talk about, forget about wars, but cold blood killing civilians. And even if we don't talk about our 6 million, they murdered in cold blood innocent civilians that number into the 20 or 30 million. How many Nazis received a court punishment for that, that were put to death? You could write down their names on one sheet of paper. That's how many. No. Because compassion. Shouldn't have revenge. He said, revenge? Where's justice? So this is the world we're living in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is not like that. Mishpat and Yosher are Hakuki Be'olam. These are pillars in the world which are immovable. You can have all the amnesties international. You can have all the societies you want, but they're not going to change the hukim, the statutes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world one iota. When they'll move heaven and earth, that's when they'll change these. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that is built on a just society, where there must be mishpat and yosher, must be just and upright. This means that when a person does something good, he must receive reward. The person who doesn't do, he doesn't receive. And when a person does something which is cruel, and he does something which is wrong, then also he has to receive his retribution for that. And therefore, when a HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays, it has to be exact. If it's not exact, then it's a kilkel, it's a prostitution of what is just. And that's what the Gemara is bringing out here. And this is a Dover Nifle. This is a very, very great and inspiring principle, because then a person should always know that for everything good that was done in the world, that person will receive it exactly to what he did and 500 times more. And for everything bad that was done in the world, also be paid. That's why so many times in the Torah it says, Ani Hashem. He says, you can trust me. If not now, be later. But I will see that all debts and all scores are paid off and are settled. And therefore, when she went and she adorned herself lavishly, she made herself beautiful. This is just the opposite of being disgraceful. She made herself beautiful and lavish. But it was for a betrayal, for an aveira moal moal b'Hashem b'Isha. So then it is only just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take all of that adornment and remove it from her, take it away from her, and in order to and where she should be disgraced. This is one of the examples the Mishnah says here, and that's how the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara comes into it here. In this Masechta, the Mishnah carries on. It states, Shimshon holach acher einov lefichok nokru plishtim es einov. Samson was a very, very great man. He was a shefet. He was a judge. He was a great Talmud Chochem. Very great man. Extremely great. He was a tzaddik, a righteous person. But he had a great shortcoming. And the shortcoming was his downfall in the end. The Mishnah says, what was his shortcoming? Holach acher einov. He had a weakness where he would let his eyes lead him astray. The Gemara says, Shimshin be'einov morad. He let his eyes lead him astray. Where through this he betrayed the mitzvahs of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him enormous strength, an enormous mind, enormous abilities, but he submitted to his eyes, which many times led him against Hashem. The Gemara says, where do we see this? Vayeme Shimshon al Oviv Esa Kachli Kihi Yishor Be'edai. When he saw a beautiful woman, so he said to his father, take her for me, because she is Yishor Be'edai. She pleases my eyes very much. Now, a person has to use his eyes, can't go around blindly, but he cannot only use his eyes. He has to use his mind also. He has to use his heart also. If a person only goes after his eyes, he's going to get himself in a lot of trouble. When people go shopping, and they look into the shop windows, they know of that. They know they have to be careful not only to go after their eyes. States, eyes are like the spies of people. They go out and they see what's good and they come and bring back the messages to the people. And if a person is going to want everything that his eyes see, he's going to be create a lot of problems for himself. Therefore, he has to use his seichel, his mind, and he has to use his heart and make a decision. In accordance to what Hashem says, many times he has to close his eyes. Many times he has to tell himself, even though it looks good, it's not for me. Shimshon was not like that. And especially when it came to beautiful women. When he saw, that's what he wanted. He didn't say, take her for me because I know she's a wonderful woman. I know she's a beautiful woman. He didn't go after his mind and his heart, but he said, Yoshua Be'enel, she is very pleasing to my eyes. And therefore, the Gemara says, Lefichoch nokru plishtim esenov. And these eyes got him into a lot of trouble. He ended up with a woman who might have been pleasing to the eyes, but she was his downfall. And what ended up? Nokru plishtim esenov. The plishtim, the Philistines, took his eyes out. Shnema vayechazeu plishtim vayenakru esenov. This was his punishment, his mido kenegin mido. There are times when eyes can be used for good. Like it states, Uri Semesoy, Uskatemes called me face Hashem. You should look at the tzitzis. And from seeing the tzitzis, Ariya may be a lide asir, then you will come to do mitzvahs Hashem. Ariya may be a lide sechira. When you see, you remember. When you remember, you will do. Or it says, Vahoya inecho reyes marecho. You should look at the one who's teaching you Torah, and you will learn Torah better from him. So eyes can be used for either good or bad, but they have to be controlled. And he didn't. This was his downfall. And we see that the mido keneged mido, b'mido shemaydin imbo, the way a person does, this is how a Kodesh Baruch Hu reacts to him. The Mishnah carries further. And the Mishnah says, Avshalom. Avshalom, the Bnei Shel David, the son of David, it states, Nisgoa Besare. He was an arrogant person. He was a prince. And he had what to be arrogant over. But he became too arrogant, very arrogant. And it especially came out Besare. More than Achin, the Gemara says he had beautiful, beautiful hair and he let it grow. He was a Nozir, a Nazirite, like Simpson, and he let it grow very, very long. And he became very arrogant and conceited in his own beauty. But it was through this that he rebelled against Hashem and he went astray. What happened to him in the end? Nit lebesare. He ended up being hung by his hair. It states, the Nach tells us that he was riding along and his hair got caught in the tree and he became hung, and this was his end. Now, not that this was his, this was the whole, the hair was the whole chet, the whole avera, but this personified him. The, to go a little deeper into this, the Maral explains. Shimshon had great desire. And this is why he went after his eyes. It states, Ha'enayim Reyes Ba'alev Chemet. The eyes see, and right away it brings desire to the heart. Because of that, he had great desire and an uncontrollable desire, a desire that he did not wish to control. Now, desire shows a lack of totality and perfection. An example: when a person has had enough to eat, he's not hungry anymore. Hunger shows a lack of totality, a lack of shlemus, the ability shlemus. He is lacking, therefore he desires. Someone is satisfied, so then he's not hungry. And in the eyes in particular, we brought this not long ago, but Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Kehelet, "Ha'ayin eina shaveya," the eye can never be satisfied. It's one of the few organs of the person that is never satisfied, never becomes filled up. Can always look and see and so forth. So from Shimshon we see that he had an enormous desire which was not controlled, and this is a sign that he was lacking in fullness, in totality. From Avishalom, there it states he was arrogant. Arrogance and conceit is just the opposite. It's not a lacking that comes from a person who thinks too much of himself. Not where he doesn't have enough, but he thinks too much of himself. He's too haughty, and he's too arrogant and too conceited. And especially by Avishalom, who was the son of the king. Now, this also shows a lack of perfection and a lack of totality. Because Mali Rav, Mali Chosar, what's the difference if it's not enough or there's too much? It's the same thing. This is a principle people have difficulty understanding, but it's a very simple principle. When it comes to perfection, there's no difference if there's too little or there's too much. Both are Yotze Miklal Shlemus. Both are lacking in perfection. A simple example. What's the difference if a person is hungry or if he overeats? There's no difference as far as the person himself. He's in both states, he's in a very uncomfortable state. If he didn't eat enough or if he ate too much. When is he in a comfortable state? When he says, just right. That was perfect. That means it's just right. So when it comes to the world, especially the material world, people want to amass, and they want to amass. A person should want what's just right for him. Because the minute he has a little too much of what's just right to him, it can be as great a headache to him. And a greater problem is when he doesn't have enough. And this was both by Shimshon and by Avishalom. Shimshon was the type of personality that never had enough, therefore he wanted more. And that personified itself in the eye, that the eye always wants more. Eina Seveya. And Avishalom also, but he was lacked this perfection. But from just the opposite. He had too much. And this was why he was arrogant and conceit. This was his personality. He thought too much of himself. His main avera was he wanted the malchus of his father. He wanted to be king. He wanted to take it away from his father. And this came from his opinion of himself was too much. And this personifies itself in the hair, because the hair is something that is extra to a person. We don't find in other things generally that you constantly have to cut them off. The hair you have to constantly cut. This is something which is extra to the person. It's extra baggage to the person and constantly needs cutting. And both of them were similar to the fact that they both lacked a total fulfillment, a total satisfaction, where one didn't want more than he should have had, and one didn't think less of himself, but each one in a different way. And here the Mishnah brings out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with them exactly in the same way. That Shimshon's end was the Philistines took his eyes away from him, and by Abishalom that he was hung by his hair. Another case the Gemara brings. The Gemara and Avtes. Seif Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Seif Amar Aleph and Amar Beis. Tone Rabbonim. Seite nosno eineho b'mishen roi lo. Seite, the adulteress, she went and she put her eyes on someone that was not for her. She was married. She had a husband. She belonged to someone, but she wanted someone who was not for her. What happens when a person commits adultery? So then they are forbidden to go back to their husband, and they are also forbidden to go to the adulterer. She cannot return to her husband. She cannot marry the adulterer. So what happened to her? Mashibik shalei nitan lo. What she wanted is not given to her. Umashibiyodoi natlu mimenu. And what is already hers is taken from her. She becomes a two-time loser. She not only loses that which she wanted to take that was not for her, but she even loses that which she already had. Shikolanesan eino bameh sheina shaloi. Whoever puts his eye on something or someone that does not belong to him or her, and is not to belong to him or her, what will happen? That the person wants is not given to him. And even that what he has already, he loses. You become a two-time loser. Therefore, we have to be very careful not to try to take things that are not for us. If we do, heaven forbid, so not only will we lose what we're trying to take, but even what we already have. The Gemara goes further. It says, "V'chein motzino benocha shakadmoni," and this is what we find by the original serpent. The original serpent was made king over all of the chayos, all of the animals. The lion was made the king of the wild animals, and the shore, the bull was made the king of the domesticated, the farm animals, and the eagle was made the king of the birds, but the serpent was made the king over all of animal life. And he, together with man, were the two kings of the world, and he was man's servant. It states he was a wonderful servant. He could do anything. You could send him anywhere on any. He had a very high intelligence, and you could send him almost anywhere to look for gold for you and to look for diamonds for you and whatnot. He could bring them all back for you. So he was a very, very good servant to have around. And he used to walk upright, like man, since that he was a king. A king must walk upright. So it states as follows. And he used to eat fine food, like man. So states as follows. Nochesh kadmeini shenosan einav b'mesh ein roile. What was his downfall? His downfall was also similar to Avshalom. He was not happy to be a Mishnah Lemelech. He was not happy to be a viceroy. He wanted to be the king, like man. Even though he had an enormous position in the world. He wanted to be a king like man, and he wanted to marry Chava. He saw this enormously wonderful, beautiful woman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and gave her as a gift to Adam HaRishon, to the first man. He said, let me be like Adam, and I will take her. This is why he enticed Chava to entice man to eat from the fruit. Because then he thought man would die and I will have Chava. This is what he wanted. So he placed his eyes on something that was not for him. Not only did he lose what he was trying to take, but even what he was had, even what the enormous abilities that he had, were all taken away from him. So the Gemara says as follows. Mashe bikesh leinos nulei, what he wanted was not given to him, umashe biyode nat luhu mimenu, and what he already had was taken from him. Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, ani amati yei melech al kol behemah v'chaya, I said that you should be king over all animal and all wild beasts in the world. Akshav, now, oru ato mikol habehim mikol chayis asoda. Today the serpent is the most cursed. Not only is not a king over them, he's not even an equal to them. He's the most cursed of all of the animals and all of the chayis. So he says, oru, you shall be cursed mikol habehim mikol chayis asoda, from all animals. He is the most intolerable living creature on earth. By everyone. You see, man doesn't like him. Women don't like him. Animals don't like him. You'll never find him together with other animals. You go to a water hole, I'll at Kruger or at some other place, you'll find many different kind of animals there drinking water, but you won't find a snake amongst them. Why did it become like that? Because he wanted to take something that was not his. Not only he didn't get that, but even what he had, he lost. I said that you should walk upright. Now, not only you won't walk upright, he doesn't even walk like the other animals. The other animals at least walk on four legs. He crawls on his belly. There's no animal that's lower than a serpent. There was no animal that was higher, and now there's no animal that was lower. I said that you should eat what man should eat. I wanted to elevate you. You'll be his personal servant and his viceroy. Achshav, now, he wasn't demoted to eat what animals eat. Offer Yechol. You shall eat dust, as it states, from the dust of the earth you shall eat. In other words, he's lower than all animals. Who am I, Ereges Odom versus Chava? He said, I will kill man and I will marry Chava. Achshav, now, I will not only take Chava away from you, where you can't have her, but you will be different than all other animals. Evo oshis beinoch veino isho vein zarechu vein zaro. I will place enormous natural hatred between you and Chava, and between your seed and her seed. We find that there's an enormous natural hatred between woman and a snake. He wasn't demoted to other animals, but all the way. And then the Gemara says that we find this by many people. Bekain, Korach. Korach wanted to be as great as Moshe. He wanted the gedula. He wanted the power that Moshe had. He ended up, and Korach had power, and he was from the Levim, and he was a very wealthy person. He ended up losing everything. Bilam, Doeg was the one who stood up against David, and he kept slandering David and tried to undermine him. He was the one who would come and say, well, how can David be king? He's from the, like we spoke about in Rush, he's from Moab. How can he be king? He's not even kosher for Israel. Now, Doeg, though, was from the greatest Talmidei Chachomim. It states, Rashi brings that Doeg was Avir Aharoim v'Godol Shibet Talmidim. He was from the great Talmidei Chachomim of the generations and the great Talmidim of the generations. And he was Niskane b'David. But he became very jealous of David. He wanted that position. Not only he didn't get it, but he lost everything that he had. Had he just remained what he was, he would have been a very, very prestigious person with a high status in Klal Yisrael. But not only he didn't get what he was trying to get, he lost everything. And the Gemara brings with Doeg, Achitofel, Gachasi, Avisholom, Adoniyam, Uzio, Oman. Oman is a classical example. Haman was Mishnah LaMelech. Haman was a powerful person. He was second to Ahasuerus, who was the most powerful king in the world at that time. One of the most powerful kings in history, 127. Haman would have had a wonderful position. He was given a palace, and he had the king's ear. He wanted more. He wasn't happy with that. He wanted more. And he tried to stretch his hand out in something that was not his. Not only did he lose that, he lost everything. He lost himself. Haman had a wonderful family. States he used to pride himself on his 10 sons. He lost himself, and he lost his palace, and he lost his wealth, and he lost his sons. So the Gemara says, "Shenosne nem b'mashen eroilohem." They were interested in what was not for them. Not only what they wanted is not given to them, but what they already had, they lose. So therefore we must be very, very careful not to go after things that are not for us, because we endanger even that we have. The Maral says, see, this is a midah keneged midah. The person is trying to take something that's not his. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return takes away. The person is trying to take away from something, from someone, something that belongs to someone else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around and takes from him what belongs to he himself. The midah shata made it bo made it in. But also, he says, because when a person, like we said before, when a person wants something, he wants more than he should, than he has. Constantly wants things that he shouldn't have. That's a sign that he is not in totality, in fulfillment, in shlemus. He is not surveyor. And when a person lacks, he's like a broken utensil. And when he manifests that, he stands to lose even what he has. Because when you have a kli choser, a utensil that's lacking, it can even lose what it's holding. When a person is very strong in himself, he's not interested in other things that do not belong to him. What comes his way, he's very interested in. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him, he's very interested in. He does what he's supposed to do. Look, a person has to do things in the world. He goes out and he does business and he does this and so forth, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, he's very happy. But to go and try to take things which are not coming his way, and he can see are not destined for himself, but still he wants it, or to take things away from other people, or to take other people's wives away from them, whatever it might be, what he's doing is manifesting a lackness in himself, where he is lacking. And when that grows, then he is a utensil that is not full and is not strong and can be lost, even what he already has. The Mishnah carries on. The Mishnah says, Yosef Zocha Likfores Oviv. Yosef had the great skus to bury his father. The Gemara tells us that on Daf Yud Gimel, that when Yaakov died in Egypt and he made Yosef promise that he would take him out of Egypt and bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef did this himself. He did not say, let the brothers do it, let others do it. He did not say, I'm the king, and therefore it's ein bechvedi, it's not in my honor, because the others would have done it also. Morris says, and if Yosef wouldn't have done it, the other brothers wouldn't. And they also went with him. But they said that if Yosef is willing to do it, let Yosef do it, because that will be more honor for our father. Yosef was a mighty king, the viceroy of Para. And Yosef insisted on burying his father himself. He took his chariot, his horses, he took his servants, and he led the entourage out of Egypt all the way to Eretz Yisrael, to Canaan. And the Torah and the Gemara explains that this was an enormous kovod, an enormous honor for his father, because as they were going, it states that Egypt never had that much respect for Yosef's brothers. They had respect, and not more than necessary. But when they came back from this journey, the Egyptians had a different respect for Yosef's brothers. Why? Because they saw Rol Bechvoden Noguben. They saw the great honor that the nations of the world had for Yaakov and for the brothers. Where did they see this? Because as they kept going by and people came out, and even noblemen came out and kings came out, and they heard, this is the Yaakov, the great Yaakov Avinu, Ubeso, and these are his children, they took their crowns, and this is Yosef, king of Egypt. And Yosef had taken his crown and put it on the casket. And Yosef was very, very famous. Everybody knew about him because of the great famine. So they took their crowns and they also hung it on the casket. And then when they came and they met Bnei Esav and Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, they met Esav, his children, and Yishmael and Keturah, they wanted to come and make war with them. Kivin Shorau Kisro Shel Yosef Toli Ba'areinu Shel Yaakov. Once they saw the crown of Yosef, which was on the casket, Notlu Kulan Kisrehem V'talum Ba'areinu, they all took their crowns and they hung it on the casket. Tana Shleishim V'Shishak Sorim Notlu Ba'areinu Shel Yaakov. And there were 36 crowns on the casket of Yaakov. And everybody who saw this, they started to go with them and they started to give honor. And when the Egyptian soldiers and servants that were accompanying Yosef saw this, it says when they came back to Egypt, they had a different respect now for the whole family. Now, This was the great honor that Yosef did for his father. The Mishnah says, Hashem had to repay him for this. How could he repay him? What's the problem? There was a problem how to repay him. Because if we'll just have someone else bury Yosef, that will not be a proper repayment. Because Yosef was greater than Yaakov in power at that time. Yosef was the king. Even though Yaakov was his father, but Yaakov was not the king. Yosef was greater than Yaakov in power and in nobility as far as the nation was concerned. And this is the respect he gave to Yaakov, his father. So Hashem has to repay Yosef accordingly. So he has to have someone who will bury Yosef that will be greater in power and in nobility than Yosef. Now who is that? So the Mishnah says there was only one man that was greater in power and nobility than Yosef. And that was Moshe. Moshe was a greater king than Yosef. First of all, Yosef was a viceroy. Moshe was the king. Secondly, Moshe, Yosef, did all kind of miracles with the famine and selling of the grains. But Moshe did greater miracles. He split the sea. He destroyed Egypt. So therefore, it had to be Moshe that would bury Yosef. Otherwise, Yosef would not be repaid properly. Because here Yosef went and buried Yaakov. He was greater than Yaakov. So therefore, someone greater than Yosef had to bury him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped history by giving the opportunity to Moshe to bury Yosef. And what happened? Moshe was Ocho. Moshe didn't have to, but he chose to do it. It wasn't easy either. Because the Gemara tells us, the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel, Yosef had died, and now Yosef the king died. They had lost their power. They couldn't take him out now. So they had, and Egypt would not allow Yosef out now. So Yosef was buried in Egypt. So when was Yosef taken out? When they went out at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the Yetzia, at the Exodus. Now they didn't know where Yosef was buried, because the Egyptians concealed. They didn't want Yosef to leave. First of all, it could be that they knew that they thought maybe the Jews wouldn't leave without Yosef. Secondly, Yosef had brought brocha, blessing to the land like they never had before. Therefore, they wanted to keep him there. So there are different opinions where he was. But one opinion was is that they had buried him at the bottom of the Nile River, because the Nile was the source of the brocha, of the blessing for Egypt. And Yosef, they believed, was the source of the brocha for the Nile. And therefore, they put him into the Nile River. Now, that night, it was either that night, it was that morning, all of Israel were getting ready to leave, and they were gathering up as much wealth as they could get. And everybody was busy. Everyone was busy. Moshe, it says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvus. He was wise, was a good businessman. He won't go after wealth. He'll go after something worth more than wealth. He'll go after mitzvahs. Moshe was a good businessman. So he left all the wealth, and he said, I have something more valuable, more important to do. And he went to try to find Yosef. So he went to Sorach Bas Osher, Serach, the daughter of Osher, who was the oldest one there. She alone remained from the original generation. And he asked her, do you know where Yosef is buried? Because we have to leave. And we made a promise to Yosef, an oath, that we'll take him with us. So she said, yes, he's at the bottom of the Nile. She told him where. So he went, and he said, the time has come to fulfill the oath. Show yourself, bring yourself up, and then I'll take you out. But if not, there's nothing I can do if I can't find you. So his casket came floating up. Moshe took him, and for 40 years in the desert, he was together with Moshe. He was in the camp of Moshe. Because Moshe wanted this mitzvah, he had made this oath, and he himself wanted to fulfill this. There were two arenas, two chests leading Yisrael. One was of the Shekhinah, the Oren of Hashem, and the other was the casket of Yosef. And people used to come and they would say, what are these two? And they would explain them, and they would say, but how do these two go together? Because Yosef had fulfilled whatever was written in the other one. Now also the Gemara says that others would have done it. Yosef had children, and the other people would have done it. But Moshe wanted it, and they held it was more covered if Moshe would do it, because here Moshe was the king, the mighty king, and therefore he had the mitzvah. So Yosef was repaid. In exactness. You went and you were so much greater in power and nobility and royalty, and still you went and buried your father, that I must find someone who's greater in power and nobility and royalty than you that will bury you. And therefore it states, Be'elam Meshach Atz Meshach Yosef Mimitzrayim. Now, one final. So, when Moshe died now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to repay Moshe. And he had to repay Moshe. Also, B'midah Shatamedin Bo made him. He had to repay him in the exact way that, according to what he did. He went, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of Kfura by Yosef, even though he was greater in power and royalty than Yosef. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to have to find someone who's greater in power and royalty than you. Otherwise, it will not be an exact payment. Now this was a problem, because in the generation of Moshe there was no one alive that would be greater in power and nobility than Moshe. We could have had maybe Yeshua bury him, but Yeshua was not greater in power. He was a disciple of Moshe. He was to be the successor, but he was not greater than him. It was not like Moshe burying Yosef or Yosef burying Yaakov. We could have had, perhaps Aaron was already dead. We could have had perhaps Pinchas, Lozer, but these were all, they were not superior to Moshe. These were subordinates to Moshe. So it was a problem. So how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu solve this problem? The Mishnah tells us, Mi Godel Mi Moshe. Who can we find that is greater than Moshe to bury him? There is no one. And there was no one. Therefore, Shalei Nistasik Be'el HaMokom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll have to bury him myself. And that's why it states, Vayikvar Asei Bagoy, Bagai, that when Moshe was buried, Hashem himself buried him. No one buried Moshe. Moshe went off to a certain place, and there Hashem buried him. Why Hashem himself? Because had someone else buried him, then if there would not have been justice done in the world, Moshe would have not received full exact payment for that act that he did. Therefore, Vayikvar Asei Bagai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried him. This is the cloud. B'midah she'adam meided, bo meididin lo. exactly in the way a person walks, exactly in accordance to what he does, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays him. If it's for good, then it's for good. If it's not for good, then heaven forbid, it's also not for good. Except when it comes for good, he pays him exactly, and then he adds to it. And he adds to it, Mida Tova Maruba Mimida Ro, Mimida Pronius, and he adds 500 to 1 to it. And the reason, like we said, firstly, from here a man can see. Is he going in the right direction? Is he not going in the right direction? We have in the physical world is also like that. A person becomes exposed to the cold, he catches cold. Becomes exposed to a draft, he catches cold. He goes out in the rain and he sits in wet clothes, he catches cold. So it doesn't take him long to find out what's causing it. Alright. But then there's also a deeper reason. Because if it will not be like that, then there'll be a lack of justice in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect with his justice. There cannot be a lack of justice in the world. As much as people try to eradicate and eliminate justice from the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there will always be a justice in my world because this is how I created my world. So therefore, the Midashim made it in, bar made it lay. That exactly according to the way the person does, this is how we're made in him. And this is the reason in our parsha where it states that the nation waited 7 days for Miriam because she had to be repaid for waiting for Moshe. And she waited for Moshe, so it wouldn't be enough that they delegated a group to wait for her. Had to be someone equal to Moshe that she waited for. That was called Yisrael. And she waited 15 or 20 minutes. So then it's not enough that they should wait for her 15 or 20 minutes. It had to be 500 times the amount. So therefore came the calculation of 7 days. This is what we learn from this posuk in the Sedra and from this topic. And this is something which is very, very important that we all must always be cognizant to know that there is no deed whatsoever that anyone will do. A person should not feel that I've done something and I've worked hard and I've never been repaid for it. He'll be repaid. And a person shouldn't feel like the Gemara says many times, and many times it's very, very disarming and it's very, very depressing. That you see, there goes a Rosho, there goes an evil person, there goes that one. When is he going to be repaid for his deeds? Like we see with the Nazis, with the Germans, and who knows what. When will they be repaid? We should know they will be. There's a story from the Chofetz Chaim that his son writes on him that there was a woman, a very poor woman, and she was living in a house that was owned by another person, and she couldn't pay her rent, and the other person wanted to throw her out. The landlord wanted to throw her out, and she had no place to go. It was winter, a Lithuanian winter, and in order to force her out, he went and he had the roof removed from the house in order to force her out. Naturally, the Chofetz Chaim did his best to intervene. He went to talk to him. He got other people to talk to him, but it was to no avail. There was no way they could stop him. The Chofetz Chaim said on himself, he said it to his son, he mentioned it to his son. His son writes this. He said that the onus, he says, the punishment that that man will receive for this is going to be a terrible punishment. And then he said, he waited, and he waited, and he waited, and the man was never punished. And he said he knew that the man cannot go through this world without being punished for that. Because otherwise, there's ein mishpat ba'olam. Otherwise, there's no justice in the world. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of justice. And he always was watching what will happen to that man. says, one day he was attacked by a dog that had rabies. Mad dog who bit him. The man caught rabies. He says, and the man went out of his mind, and he started to act like a dog and went out of his mind and so forth. And he suffered and he suffered and suffered and finally died. And the Chofetz Chaim said, now I saw the justice of Hashem. This is what he was waiting for. So this is what we have to know. If you see someone does evil deeds, don't worry. All scores will be settled. And the same thing when someone does chesed, and he does mitzvahs, that chesed opens up worlds. Worlds of goodness for that person, both in this world and the next world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Neman L'Shalem Shechar.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.